Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have a kind of a little declaration before I start speaking that I have always run away from the idea of discussing women in architecture. And I think I'm probably not alone in that, and I think that in a way has to be looked at. Whenever I've gone to a room that related to the activity of me being an architect, I lost my gender entirely, and I think I'm simply an architect. But this doesn't mean that we cannot celebrate the achievement of women architects, which is what we are doing today, and I'm very happy to be part of it. We all know that architecture is becoming an architect is like taking a leap into the unknown. There is almost no textbook that can quite prepare you for it. It is multivalent. It moves with people and time. It involves economy, culture, politics, the construction industry, user groups, the not yet known clients that become part of your life for at least a few years, etc. So, innovation in architecture happens at the intersection of all of these numerous factors. Now, for women, there is an added factor, which is that they usually have to navigate through structures and through systems that are very often not of their own making, and this makes the process even more complicated. Now, usually, and this is really the reason why I've run away from the discussion, when it comes to the discussion of role of women in architecture, the discussion is usually trapped in what it means to be a woman as opposed to a man. And then it moves on to us trying to argue for more women in architecture, more representation of women in architecture, or otherwise how the female body can be embed built forms with some kind of sense of sensuality. But in order to innovate, we have to move away from such representational techniques that, in a way, try to recreate something that we know and move towards processes of change that define really the century that we live in. Now, this means moving away from cliches and investing in a continuous process of reinventing architectural practice. Now, the presence of women is, of course, important for a democratic vision of society based on equal voices. But I think that the insistence on some essential idea of women or woman in architecture is fundamentally conservative. If the idea of a female gender is to be a fuel for innovation, which it can be, we have to move away from the idea of the dialectic of women architects versus men architects. Now, I have found over the years one very useful gender idea in writings of philosophers Gilles Deleuze and Félix Guattari in the notion of becoming woman. Now, Deleuze and Guattari offer a productive strategy for thinking gender by dismantling the man-woman or female-male duality and reconceptualizing the sexes as being man versus becoming woman. So if being man is the status quo, becoming woman is the process of becoming something that is not the status quo. Now, the significance of this notion of becoming woman is that it is a creative and sexually neutral process that can be adopted by men or women alike. Whereas the idea of being a woman implies a rebellion against being a man, becoming a woman is a process of disengaging from conventions and opening out to processes of becoming something which is entirely different. Now, in architectural terms, being a man could refer, for example, to using prefigured systems in design. Historically, we could simplify architectural designs into evolved out of two kinds of processes, two representational processes that could be top-down or bottom-up. Characteristics of these systems is that the design process would evolve through the application of a prefigured invariable set of generative techniques that determine the part and the whole, architectural whole. Now, a top-down approach turns the process of design or production to an uncreative process as it fixes the outcome at its outset. A bottom-up process lacks vision and direction and sets the process alone to shape the production. In both cases, the ending is pre-given, so the architect knows from the outset how the project will take shape. Now, if being man is systems like these, which manage and predetermine the environment, the built environment, becoming woman is the process of unsettling and dismantling these conventions to focus not on the whole and not on the parts alone, but on the process of, on the relationship between these. Now, the breaking of these conventions is, I think, particularly relevant today, where predetermined architecture runs the risk of becoming totally disconnected from the ever-evolving environment that architecture becomes part of. Now, let me continue more on a personal note. I spent my childhood in the 70s in Iran with a very forward thinking father who supported my mother in a more prominent role as one of the heads of a feminist organization in Iran, which translates as Women's Association. And the idea of a female architect was not unusual at all at the time. In fact, the first ever international conference of women architects was in Iran in 1976. And there were people such as Denise Scott Brown, Gao Lenti, Monica Pigeon, which I'm sure you know, Anna Bofill, etc., were some of the women that attended. So given this background, for me, it has really never been a question that I could become a professional, that I could have a professional career in architecture. But through my experience later on of working internationally, I have learned that the perception of professional women varies from country to country, so does the professional scene. This includes how meetings are run, where colleagues socialize, what they do socializing, as well as the way men and women interact. But it would be really misleading if we would say that architects fare badly worldwide. Not so long ago, in another one of these invitations, when I was asked to interact with the discussion around women and architecture, I saw a 2008 survey by the Architects Council of Europe that showed that, in fact, for example, UK and Germany have at least had 2008 the largest construction markets in Europe, but low ratios of male to female. But in France, in Finland, in Greece, and in Sweden, more than half of women are architects. More than half of the architects are female. And in fact, I know from my own experience that having set up a kind of a solo practice, my first opportunity has come from France. So there is another layer of solo, of complication, let's say, for women as they need to negotiate their way around these very specific local gender issues. So we can't really generalize the context. Now, my first experience of practice was in Japan, where cultural differences seemed really significant. But I soon realized that this extreme difference between me and the local culture was actually a source of freedom. Being the outsider allows you to ask questions that perhaps a room full of the same would not want to ask. They wouldn't want to ask an obvious question for the fear of sounding ignorant. So you play the game that you know more, you're more informed than you really are. And this often can lead to a position of compromise. Now, being an outsider allows you to challenge the expected, ask questions that others wouldn't want to ask. And in fact, in most of my other experiences in the UK and elsewhere, I have learned that clients who are looking for innovation, public or private, or academic institutions that are looking for innovation, value difference and see it as essential part of taking the kind of risk that is necessary to produce creative work. So we should embrace women's difference in this way. Now, I am personally very interested in this potential of women's exteriority being a source of creativity. But, of course, I must not forget to mention that women do often make huge sacrifices to commit themselves to architecture. now in order to run my own office and teach at the same time and be a mother, I have had to undergo lots of different friends invitations that I would have loved to go to. I won't tell you how many days after my daughter was born I went back to work, etc. But things have changed enormously since I started practice in the early 90s. There are lots of avenues that I think we should explore. For example, the internet, digital tools are making it a lot more possible for us to be in different places, but yet be connected and work together. So the idea of flexible working hours will be much more of a reality in the future and will help, I think, women to be to commit themselves to architecture as much as they wish to. Now, returning to the idea of becoming versus being. Now, becoming woman means allowing yourself to allow the way you work to continually evolve. Now, implicit in this idea, I think, is that there should be no role models. In the sense of a kind of a natural interiority that we create and we use it to recreate more of. Whereas men in architecture have role models in the profession to emulate, there are very few female role models, if any, and I would like to argue that there shouldn't be any. This makes female architects much more flexible. The absence of a fixed idea of what it means to be a female architect and the behavioral conventions that would attend it gives women the freedom to be more creative and undo the stereotype architect. There is no precedent to Zaha. And I think that is what is wonderful. Thus, we will come to the end of the old play, having found a new one to write. Thank you.